you've got to abide by the code, really, of David. Can't fly the baggy green, I suppose. You can't go, you're going to play for Australia in cricket. You don't want to pledge the governing body, do you?
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slab. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by TAB.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now...
You can eject on your multi with TAB's cash out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land...
with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with TAB's cash out. Available at your local TAB, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
TK here. You love backing winners. You love your racing. Well, so do we. Don't forget to join us Monday mornings for Punters Postmortem. Call us on 13 53 53 and chat with the best racing experts in the business. There's a $50 TAB voucher up for grabs for the best caller. Monday mornings from 9 a.m. right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing. Field bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for TAB Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to TAB Talk.
And good morning from Paul Langham, and good morning, Trent Langscale. How are you, Trent?
Going well, and yourself, Paul?
Very good, especially after the Eels getting home last night against the Tigers.
They're resurgent at the moment. You'd be feeling really happy.
Two in a row.
Well, it's better than losing.
Absolutely, yes. So we'll be talking rugby league shortly with Matt Russell. Of course, plenty of NRL and, of course, the Origin, the big one on tomorrow night, Trent.
Yes, looking forward to that one at Suncorp Stadium. Always better when it is a deciding game. So We saw Queensland, they got the better of New South Wales at ANZ Stadium, and then Cooper Cronk missing game two, and New South Wales did take advantage. Their forward pack really strong in the victory at the MCG, but all eyes on Suncorp Stadium tomorrow night. But there might be a bit of remote control flicking as we check out the first Ashes test as well, which starts at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, veritable feast for sports fans, isn't it, coming up?
That is the case, and it continues as well at Wimbledon. So tonight we've got the women's quarterfinals. Now on centre court, the first one's at 10 o'clock. You've got Maria Sharapova $1.15 against Coco Vandeweghe at $5. And then following that, you've got Serena Williams $1.25 against Victoria Azarenka at $3.75. Out on the main show court, court one. Now this one will be around about 11 o'clock. You've got Garbine Muguruza $1.68 against Tamia Bozinski at $2.10. And then following that, Madison Keys $3 against Agnieszka Radwanska at $1.35. Now, the reason I say it follows, or it'll be around about 11 o'clock tonight, Paul, is that we still have one more men's match from the round of 16 to be completed, and amazingly, it involves Novak Djokovic. He's up against Kevin Anderson. Djokovic lost the first two sets, was in real trouble, the tournament favourite, but he came back and he's won the last two sets. So, two sets all. It'll resume at the fifth set at 10 o'clock this evening on the main show court. Novak Djokovic $1.15 and Kevin Anderson at $5. But because that match has started, you will have to call 133-390 to bet on Djokovic against Anderson. Just on the winner markets for the men, Djokovic, notwithstanding the fact that he's still going to get through this fifth set, he is the $2.20 favourite. Andy Murray at $3, Roger Federer at $5, Stan Wawrinka at $7, and then there's a big gap to Anderson, Marin Cilic and Richard Gasquet, who knocked over Nick Kyrgios last night at $51. And for the women's winner, Serena Williams $1.80 for Maria Sharapova at $6, Agnieszka Radwanska at $9, and then in the teens you've got Victoria Azarenka at $11, and then Madison Keys and Garbine Muguruza at $12.
Okay, well, we've got a race coming up, Trent. Race number one on the card from the Addington Greyhounds, where Three Botany Zenvo is the favourite at $3.50, ahead of number five Budgie Ride at $4.30, and number seven Bella Grace, third elect, at $6.20. So we'll head across to Addington, back with more on TAB Talk after this event.
And they're about to be called into the boxes. Rangitata Raider, Botany Zenvo, Budgie Wright, Bella Grace, Hobush Naki, Haiti James, Melky and La Fontaine. Last couple have been positioned. First of the day, green light is through to the control tower. The bunny set in motion. They're about to jump. All set. and racing, and one of the best out, Botany's Inbone, round the outside, showing up there, Melky, and they're followed also off the track, trying to get around as Ballard Grace, a length or two back there to La Fontaine, then Budgie Wright as they turn the corner here and slipping through on the inside, Melky in front, Melky will get the prize, then we've got Budgie Wright close up La Fontaine, they're followed further back there by Hayley James. Ballard Grace was in that bunch with Homeless Naki, Rangitata Raider, and that was one of the last there on crossing.
Number 6, Melky, the winner there at 14.90 and 3.35. Budgie Wright, 3.10. Number 8, La Fontaine at $4.20. And the 4 should get 4th there after race number 1 on the program at Addington. Tab Talk, the program. Trent Langscale with me, and we're joined online by Matt Russell to talk about league. Of course, as we mentioned, NRL wrapped up the round last night with the Eels defeating the Tigers. And, of course, it's the big one tomorrow night, Origin. So we welcome to the program Matt Russell. Good morning, Matt.
G'day, Paul. G'day, Trent. Yes, last night the Eels were left celebrating. I wonder who'll be celebrating tomorrow night, those wearing maroon or those wearing blue?
Well, I hope it's blue, but anyway.
Well, it will be a big one, Matt. There's been plenty of talking points in the first two Origin games, and there has been another talking point in the past 48 hours. We'll touch on that briefly now. Following the Alex McKinnon story that aired on 60 Minutes last Sunday night, how much of an impact will it have on Cameron Smith and Queensland? It has been documented what's occurred in the past 48 hours.
Well, I think Cameron Smith faces the greatest personal challenge of his playing career. It's certainly the biggest personal controversy to fit Cameron Smith. Of course, he went through the team salary cap dramas a few years ago, but this is the biggest individual controversy. And knowing Cameron Smith, he would have been rocked by what was said on Sunday night. We've heard from the Queensland camp and those who know Cameron that he is struggling in the wake of that report. So you will know that it's going to affect his Origin build-up. Will it affect his performance? I suppose we find out tomorrow night. But hardly the ideal preparation for what was meant to be a celebration and a milestone game for Cameron Smith. He'll equal Darren Lockyer on 36 matches, the most capped Origin player all time. He hasn't only missed one game since making his debut in 2003, but unfortunately, the big week, the celebration week, has been undermined by that 60 Minutes report. And for what it's worth, everyone's been having their say on this matter, so let me have mine. Alex McKinnon is in a wheelchair and has the right to feel anger at whoever he deems fit to be angry with. But I just hope that he gets a chance to sit down and speak with Cameron Smith, because anyone who knows Cameron Smith will know that he's a decent person who will look back on that night and wish he could have his time over, because I'm sure he'd conduct himself differently that night. But he, unfortunately, has been tarred with the brush as the evil person on that evening, and I don't know whether it's deserved by Cameron Smith. He'll be horrified by the way he was portrayed.
And we also heard yesterday on the Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats that Corey Parker, in his usual spot, he spoke about as well. So sometimes you can have these situations where teams may sort of put it under the carpet and say no distraction, whatever, but they actually have acknowledged that it has hurt Smith.
Oh, it has to, because this week, rather than concentrating on team preparations and getting his own mind right, he would have been distracted. Make no mistake about it. Any person who has the personality that Cameron Smith does would have been distracted by the goings-on this week. He couldn't have concentrated as he normally would have liked to, and he will need all his experience to get through tomorrow night to the standard he normally holds himself to. It's probably funny to start talking about how it will affect his Origin performance when there's a much bigger picture here. We're talking about a life story, a tragic event to Alex McKinnon. But unfortunately, we do have to draw a line when we head towards a series decider, a big game. That is the question that the public is asking. How will this controversy affect Cameron Smith? It has to in some capacity, I believe.
Well, Matt, we heard in the news reports this morning, of course, coming out that he has, banned Channel 9 virtually. That's the rumours going around that he won't be talking to Channel 9 during their coverage tomorrow night.
And I can understand Cameron Smith's anger. He would have liked to be given the right to reply as part of that report. The Nine Network said it was the story of Alex McKinnon and Alex McKinnon's family. Well, Wayne Bennett was in there, and if you are going to raise the anger and accusations against Cameron Smith about not making enough effort to get in contact with him, then I think you have to give him the right of reply in that bulletin, not down the track in another program or on another show. But that's a separate argument. I would hope that Cameron Smith rethinks that boycott and thinks, I'm not going to achieve anything. I'm only going to exacerbate the situation. Yep. I hope that he conducts himself tomorrow as he normally would. Sure, be angry and make that anger known behind the scenes. But if you, tomorrow night, boycott all interviews, you only pour fuel on the fire. And if I was advising Cameron Smith, I'm sure he has much better advisors than Matt Russell, I'd ask him to proceed as normal tomorrow and take the action you want behind the scenes and down the track to try and remedy this situation. The Alex McKinnon is a sad story all round. There are victims everywhere. I don't know whether we need another one, and I would hope that some third party, maybe even a Wayne Bennett, intervenes to broker a meeting between Cameron Smith and Alex McKinnon, maybe even Alex McKinnon's family. If after meeting for a couple of hours there is still that level of anger, I'd be surprised. But if it still exists, then sure, that's Alex's prerogative. But give Cameron the chance to have his say now, to say sorry, to say that he would have done things differently, and move on.
Well, let's have a look at the deciding game tomorrow night, Matt. And it does seem to centre about whether the wise heads that will be wearing maroon will be able to withstand the youthful exuberance of those in the blue.
You have to lean towards Queensland because they're at Suncorp Stadium, where the Blues have only won one of their past seven. And when you look at Game 3 performances by Queensland, this is where the Maroons have the massive advantage tomorrow. They've won the past Game 3s, be they dead rubbers or not. They've won the past 5 Game 3 series deciders. And they love performing when they're farewelling a player or performing in a milestone match for a player. Tomorrow is Mal Meninga's birthday. As I've touched on, Cameron Smith makes his record equaling 36th Origin appearance. Justin Hodges is farewelling the Origin arena. So all the ingredients are there for Queensland at their beloved Suncorp Stadium to come out and ambush New South Wales and win. They might well do that, but I can't help but being tempted by New South Wales because of these young forwards. David Clemmer, Aaron Woods. I really wish they didn't have the question mark and uncertainty over Robbie Farah. I don't think Robbie will play. They don't lose a lot with Mick Ennis, if anything, but just the question mark and the uncertainty regarding Farah's availability this week will set them back a little bit. So it has to be Queensland if you're using your head, but plenty of Blues will go to their heart and say, I'm backing the Blues. What price the Blues, Trent?
Well, looking at the odds, Matt, you've got Queensland at $1.70 and New South Wales at $2.20, and that's where the money has been in the past, or 36 to 48 hours. It was about $1.60 for Queensland and New South Wales, $2.30. So there is support there for the Blues. In line betting, Queensland's giving away a 3.5-point start. The margin betting, as always, very tight in Origin. You've got Queensland 1-12, $2.65. New South Wales 1-12 at $2.80. The Maroons 13-plus at $4.50. And the Blues 13-plus at $7. So plenty of anticipation for tomorrow night. And you touched on that as well, the doubt about Farah, but the forward pack led by Aaron Woods, they were fantastic in Game 2 at the MCG. Queensland are going to have to be able to counter that, and you've also got Cooper Cronk returning, and they haven't fared well the last couple of years, the Maroons, without Cronk, and we saw that in evidence again 3 weeks ago at the MCG.
Yeah, it's a massive impact to get Cooper Cronk back, especially if the game is tight, and really, if recent history is any indication, it will be, making Cooper's involvement even more important. When you look at this Queensland side, I know it is ageing, but don't dismiss it lightly. Cam Smith, 36 matches. Jonathan Thurston playing his 33rd consecutive. That's a record for consecutive Origins. Greg Inglis, Origins leading try scorer with 15, one ahead of Darius Boyd, another survivor. Nate Miles looking to become just the third player in Origin history to win 20 Origin games. You get the gist of what I'm saying. Records all over the field. This is one of the, if not the greatest, Origin side ever. Do they have another year in those legs? We find out tomorrow night.
Okay, well, we'll just have to pause there for the moment, Matt, because they are being boxed for race one at Ascot Park. So, Paul, I'll let you take it over from here.
Okay, Trent, and back shortly with more Tab Talk as they move in at Ascot Park. To another message is the favourite way here at the $3.70 quote, confirming those placings. Addington race one, they were 6, 5, 8, and 4. Hayley James did get fourth. Let's get across to Ascot Park in New Zealand. This is race number one from that venue.
Favourites around $2.40 and $1.40. And it is another message. Brandish will jump on the inside of it. The nine dog, both reserve dogs in the field, to Tomaska, the other going from box five. First row have gone forward, another message goes in. Regalin goes in, Brindy's bro, and last in will be Hyde Baxter. Set to go. First of the afternoon, $3.90. Brandish the inside. One Ellie. Favourite another message right beside it. Bunny is closing. Set. We're off. Commanding a good line to Regalin. First to hit the leader. After it, Brandish on the inside. Brindy's row a little wider out. Then Shane McBell, another message back on the inside. Deborah Bay gets past that. Then came Tamaster and Hyde Baxter is last. Regalin. Off and gone's got four lengths on them. Regalin will take the first. Home second. Deborah Bay out wide on the track. Brandish is going to be third behind that time. Tamaska. Down on the inside of that to Shane McBell. Behind those came Brindy's Bro, the outside. Back behind Brindy's Bro, another message was towards the back of the field. And
number four, Regal Inn to pay $13.70 and $4.10. Seven, Deborah Bay at $3.20 and nine, Brandish at $1.96.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now...
you can eject on your multi with Tabs Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land
with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tabs Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
It's time to get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
And we're talking rugby league, and just a word through that the Sharks have lured former junior Chad Townsend back to the club on a two-year deal. He will be granted a release from his final year of his deal playing for the New Zealand Warriors. Trent.
We'll just go back again with Origin 3. So just your recap once again, that the head is saying New South Wales, but or the heart saying New South Wales, but perhaps the head, a wiser one there, might think that Queensland will be able to get the job done with all those moments you've talked about.
I think you've summed it up pretty well, Trent. At $2.20, if I was investing the hard-earned, I'd put it on blue, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Maroons bounce back and stop the Blues going two in a row. Laurie Daly trying to join Phil Gould as the only New South Wales coaches to win multiple Origin series. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But just back to that news that Paul brought us about Chad Townsend going to the Sharks. A good pickup for the Sharks, because Chad Townsend has been outstanding this year for the Warriors. Shaun Johnson might get the headlines and the attention at the Warriors, but Chad has certainly been keeping pace with his halves partner there, and it's a good pickup for the Sharks. He's a Sharks junior who had fantastic success at grand finals during the junior ranks and went to the New Zealand side for opportunity, made the most of it, and comes home. Well done to him.
Okay, we'll have a look at round 17 very briefly, because always tricky when Origin occurs, you've just got the four games. But we saw Friday night and then Saturday night a couple of upsets betting-wise. Penrith and North Queensland getting the job done against South and St George Illawarra respectively. And then Sunday and Monday night, well, Manly and Parramatta, they've continued their resurgence at the moment.
Well, let's go through it in chronological order. Bryce Cartwright, sensational for Penrith as they down South 20-6. 201 running metres, a couple of try assists. He offloaded, made tackle busts, even came up with some kicking metres, all from a second rower, reminding plenty of people about his great uncle, John Cartwright. And when I say great, I mean great in the literal sense. He was fantastic as a footy player. So well done to Bryce Cartwright and the Penrith Panthers. And as for the Cowboys, well, they've won without their Origin stars again. We saw some fantastic defence late in the game from the Cowboys to keep the Dragons at bay, who have now slumped to four straight losses. So they're in danger of sliding down the ladder. Jason Taumalolo was impressive for the Cowboys. Really, really good, as was Gavin Cooper, as per normal. Manly, fantastic against Cronulla. We saw Brett Stewart, who normally scores at Brookvale, this time dishing off the try assist, 28-16 to the Sea Eagles. They climb off the bottom of the ladder. And then last night, Parramatta from behind, 28-16 against West Tigers. The story being the semi-trailer, Semi Raad Radra, who has now scored two or more tries in five consecutive games, a feat not achieved since Ray Preston did it in 1954. League's greatest try scorer, Ken Irvine, scored two or more tries in four consecutive games but could never get to five like Ray and now Semi Raad Radra. So plenty of highlights across a shortened round 17, Trent.
Yes, and the premiership market continues to tighten as a result. You've got the Sydney Roosters $4 favourites, Brisbane and North Queensland at $5, and Cozzy's on his way to Grafton, so he can't pump his chest out about how well the Queensland teams are going. Canterbury at $6, South at $8, and then there is a gap to the Warriors at $17, and St George and Illawarra, as you remarked on, have lost four straight. They're now out to $23. So the premiership race getting really tight there. And as we have a look at round 18, once again, we don't know at the moment. There might be some players that will be missing after what could be an enthralling game three tomorrow night. Just the main matches of note, and they'll all be on Fox Sports over the weekend. Saturday 5:30 at Pepper Stadium, Penrith against the Sydney Roosters, 7:30 at ANZ Stadium, Canterbury against Brisbane, an absolute ripper, and then Monday night at Seabus Super Stadium. They might be struggling, both teams, but Gold Coast against Manly, expecting a frosty reception for Dally Cherry Evans.
Yeah, on Saturday, Panthers against the Roosters. That's interesting, isn't it? Because the Panthers all of a sudden, one win outside the eight. If they beat the Roosters, won't they make a statement on Saturday night? And they are capable if Bryce Cartwright plays like he did the other night. Dogs v Broncos, also intriguing. Keep your eye on the Dogs. They haven't featured in the top eight through the first half of the season, but as James Graham comes back, they've now sorted out what's happening with Trent Hodkinson off to Newcastle next year. That might settle them down a little bit as well. I give them a chance against the Broncos, who'll have a stack of players backing up from Origin. Sunday, Warriors against the Storm. You'll see that on Fox Sports as well. The Warriors at Mount Smart with some good form under their belt. The Storm also heavily impacted by Origin. That way I'd lean towards the home side. And Titans-Eagles, well, can the Eagles state a late surge? Maybe against the Titans, who have been punching above their weight, it must be said. Will they falter in the back half of the season? We might get a preview on Monday night.
Yes, and it will be interesting to see how the crowd reacts once again to Dally Cherry Evans after the backflip. It's the first time they'll see him wearing those colours again, and expecting that it will be a bit of a frosty reception there at Seabus Super Stadium on the warmth of the Gold Coast, despite all that.
You're not allowed to throw Forex cans anymore, Trent, but if you were, Seabus Super Stadium would be covered in the famous red and gold cans.
There'll be plenty
if
happening there.
Left after tomorrow night, mind you.
After they've, well, celebrations aside for Queensland, but New South Wales listeners going, that will not be the case. We'll be having plenty of twoies at about 10:30 tomorrow night, so all good. Matt, thank you as always for your time on a Tuesday, and we'll see you throughout the week on Fox Sports News 500 and as part of the coverage on the NRL over the weekend.
We've got a big day tomorrow coming to you from Brisbane on Fox Sports News 500, pre and post game. It'll be a great day. I can't wait. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Trent.
Good on you, Matt. Thanks for joining us today. Sky Sports Radio, well, of course, we're about to get the Grafton, or we'll continue the Grafton Carnival, but the big two days are coming up. Trent, of course, tomorrow, Wednesday, we see the running of the Grafton Guineas and the Ramorny, and Thursday, it's Cup Day, and joining us online from the club, Michael Beattie. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Paul.
Well, a couple of great days coming up. As I said, the Grafton Guineas and the Ramorny on tomorrow, and that leads into Thursday Cup Day, and I'd imagine the crowds are rolling into town already, Michael.
Yes, Grafton's pretty busy at the moment, I've got to say, and look, and so it should be, because we really have been blessed with absolutely magnificent weather up on the North Coast this year. Add to that, I think, two really terrific race meetings. Tomorrow's meeting, the Guineas and Ramorny races, are just absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, in the Guineas, we've had two early scratching. Storm Siren from the Jason Coyle yard is out, presumably because it drew barrier 18. And Lady Marmaletta, unfortunately, won't be making the trip north from Newcastle. It's been scratched by its connections. Something must have gone wrong there. It's been scratched on a vet certificate. But the interesting thing from the club's perspective is those two scratchings actually allow two local horses that have been racing particularly well. Fast Lad won here on the second day of the carnival on Sunday, and he now, as first emergency, makes his way into the field. And a horse with a little bit of a boom on him in town, a horse called Dustman, he's had now two runs for two wins. That sees him make his way into the field. So although we lost a couple of the better chances in the race, the two emergencies that come in still will first at the moment with a terrific 16-horse field. The Ramorny handicap at this stage is scratching free, so neither of the emergencies have got a run there. So it looks like we're going to have a capacity field of 16 go around in the Ramorny, and it is a fantastic race. I've got the looks as the ruling favourite at the moment, drawn fairly well, I suppose, for it in barrier 11. The way the race is going to be run, Chris Lees's horse has drawn 3, but it does look like a really top Ramorny.
Okay, back to talk more about that in just a moment. Michael and Trent, they are moving in well. This is Addington Greyhounds race number 2.
Okay, if it squeeze Jamaican Archie in, if he gets home, he'll be away to a flying start. Green light is through. Bunny up to the box and set the jump. Racing. Crystal McBell jumped nicely, and also Hat-Trick Chaos, and coming around the outside, that's a wrap, has joined them. They're followed down on the inside there by Too Much Rebel. Now, that's a wrap going wide and charging up here, Jamaican Archie. He might have hit the lead and slipping through on the inside. Too Much Rebel. I think Jamaican Archie got there just. Too Much Rebel between them, Crystal McBell. They're followed down on the inside, Bizarro. They're followed further back there by Gump's the Name. That was back there with Tracy, and that's a wrap which went very wide round the last.
Okay, should be 7317 Jamaican Archie, 75190 defeating number 3 Too Much Rebel, 450, and number 1 for 3rd Crystal McBell to pay $1.40. Trent.
Well, Paul, just having a look at the tab fixed odds for the two features tomorrow that Michael has talked about. You've got the Ramorny Handicap Race 7, listed event for $150,000, and the money has been for I've Got the Looks, $4.60 in the $3.80 favourite. You've got Thump at $7, Barbed at $8, and then at $11 you've got Rocket to Glory, Timeless Prince, and Turbulent Jet. And in the Grafton Guineas, which is $45,000 in prize money, Conarchi, the $3.50 favourite, was a winner 2 starts back at Warwick Farm for Clary Connors. Old Habits at $7, You Wait and See at $8, and then Meteor Storm at $9.50. So, as you talked about, Michael, 2 really competitive fields there for your features tomorrow.
Yeah, as I said, boys, I couldn't be happier with it. I think the market indicates that there are a lot of chances in both those races, and certainly the Guineas, where there'll be quite a few horses that that won't have sort of raced against their current opposition. It's a really, really open race. I know there's a lot of horses that that are out of the market as far as those calculations are concerned, but the locals here will tell you that they have excellent chances. So it does promise to be a really great race.
And then on Thursday, we have the two features as well. The highlight will be the Grafton Cup, a listed event, $150,000 in prize money. And there's been good support for Kapoor from the Kieran Maher stable. Opened equal favourite with Bonfire yesterday at $4.60. But Kapoor, $4.60 in the $3.80. Bonfire, $4.60 out to $5. You've got Reigning at $8. Dan Chai at $9.50. And then Bankamo and Morris at $11. So Kapoor was the last start winner of the Winner Cup over the 2400 metres at Rose Hill on June 27, and Bonfire and Dan Chai had the placing. So a tremendous field for the Grafton Cup there, Michael.
Absolutely sensational field. We couldn't be happier. You know, you talked about coming through the Winter Cup and the win by before where it beat Bonfire. Only 7 runners in that race, and throughout all those races that from Brisbane that lead into this race, the biggest field that we saw go around was a field of 13. We've been able to attract a capacity field of 16 for the Grafton Cup. It's interesting, really, isn't it, that the two horses that are fighting out favouritism are Bonfire from the Gay Waterhouse Yard. Of course, Gay Waterhouse won the race last year with Queenstown, and we've got Kapoor from the Kieran Maher Yard, and because Kieran won the race, the Grafton Cup, the year before. So it is really great to see that those big-name trainers are coming back to Grafton. It's a big trip from Melbourne. It's a big trip from Sydney, but we've been really blessed by the support we've got from all the top stables, not only the two that I've mentioned. Gerald Ryan, of course, is here with Shoreham. Was a terrific run at its last start at the Gold Coast. And Chris Waller has accepted with 3. Now, clearly, it is Chris's intention to scratch either Reigning or Gosh. He has declared Glyn Schofield on both those horses. So I would think that Chris will only send 2 runners for the Cup. I'd very much doubt that there'd be 3. As yet, he hasn't confirmed with us as to which one will be coming out.
And that other feature on Thursday is the Sir James Kirby Quality. It's a $50,000 race. It's the last on the card there. And you've got Chris Lees at the top of the betting with Centre Dinoche at $3.50. Corsica Lad at $6. Chris Lees also has Terra Armada at $6. And then Just a Bullet and Lyric at $8. So you touch on those great trainers you've got for the 2 days. Chris Lees, another one amongst them. And also Corsica Lad, who won the Flat Knacker at Albury in March. So a competitive lineup there for your sprint feature.
Great race, the Kirby. It's a traditional last race here. People may well remember the win of Idle Chat last year where I think it ran down Terra Armada, who looked home with about 50 yards to go. Idle Chat, who's another runner in the race from the Matt Dunyard, came from well back in the field to storm down the outside and win. Look, it's a really good race. Plateau Gold's at the top of the weights. You know, he's been a very, very good sprinter in his day. Look, I know first up at Kempsey he didn't do much, but if you go back through his old form, you know, he's been a horse that's been able to win a lot of very nice races. So, again, really happy with the depth in the race and really happy with the support that we've been getting from so many trainers.
And not only will it be busy on the track, but there will be plenty of activities and action off this track as well over the coming 2 days.
Yeah, look, Wednesday is probably more about the racing. We do have some live entertainment, a singer playing down on the West Lawn throughout the day. But then Thursday we get back into the full swing of things. We've got live entertainment on the West Lawn throughout the day. We've got the big fashions on the field competition on Grafton Cup Day. So it won't really matter.